chapter 9. Let me remind you, Solomon built the temple. You could read the chapters previous to 9. You can read the chapters and you can see the materials that he used. You can see even how long it took him. The number of workmen that he had. Took him 7.5 years about to build the temple. It took him 13 years to build his house. He's been in construction now a long time. And he, as he began to build, remember it was his father David's idea. It was David's idea, wanted to build the Lord a house. Not that the Lord would live in. Remember what the Bible said. It would really be a place that God could rest his feet. God's footstool. We learn the temple is not where God dwells. Israel knew that. It was his footstool. Because even Solomon said, David said it, but Solomon remembers what it's all about. And he tells the people, nothing on earth could hold God. Even the heavens can't hold God. He's too big. This temple, God doesn't live in it. This is a place, this is his footstool. Just a place where his presence is known. The temple. A little over 7 years to build it. And then, of course, a little over 13 years to build his house. A little confused there, but at the beginning of the construction, you remember God reminding Solomon about the promise. I promised to David that the throne would remain forever and ever, and God went over the promise with Solomon. Do you recall that? Long time ago. Well, almost 13 years ago. About 13 years later, the Bible says it came to pass, chapter 9, verse 1, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and his own home, the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. Gibeon, about 13 years ago, when Solomon started this project, God appeared and said, go for it. David wanted to build it. I wouldn't let him, but I promised him his son would. So go, I'll strengthen you. Go for it and build this temple. Now, I'm taking my time here, and you're thinking, why didn't he move on? Because I wanted you to hear that. Listen, 13 years ago was the last time God spoke to Solomon. That's the last time. Now, how would you make it, and I make it, if God said, all right, Bob, now I'm calling you to the ministry, go for it. And in 13 years, I'm doing it, and they go, I wonder if I'm doing this right. Aren't you glad that God has given us His Holy Spirit so that the Spirit continues to talk with us and let us know, okay, Bob, turn to the left, quick. Now, oh, okay, all right, now turn now. 13 years have now gone by, and now God is going to show up again. God appeared to Solomon the second time. It's been a long time since the first time. And I think that sometimes, you and I, we say, you know, I know the Lord called me to do this. Or I know that the Lord is with me, but ooh, it seems like so long since anything's been going on. And we say, what, dry times, desert times? Let's see, that's the BSDU, right? Backside Desert University. That's hard for me to say. We all kind of spend our time in the backside of the desert and we think that's the university we're in. God's teaching us. And the truth is, He has already given you your assignment, and a lot of times He's just saying, go for it. Now what's neat is you've got His Holy Spirit. But here, the Lord appears to Solomon a second time, just as He did about 13 years ago at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication. God said, I've heard your prayer. Do you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to go really slow because everybody said, you went too fast in the first 8 chapters. Okay, I'll slow down just tonight. God said, I have heard your prayer. Solomon may not have been sure about it for the last 13 years. He's been busy. But God heard his prayer. His prayer was prayed and God heard it. Psalm 10, verse 17 says this. The psalmist says, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. Humble yourself. Come to Jesus Christ and humble yourself. God hears your prayers. I know you've been praying and you say, oh, it's been years and it seems like nothing's happened. He's heard your prayers. You can count on it that God has heard your prayers. He is listening. He is working. Things are going on. He has heard you. Yeah, but nothing's changing. Of course something's changing. It's just changing at such a slow pace, you haven't noticed it yet. Give it another 13 years. What's the rush? I love it when I get myself into trouble. I spent 20 some odd years of my life getting myself in trouble. I come to Jesus. I say, get me out of this. And I expect Him to do it in 30 minutes. And God's going, give me, you can do this in 30 minutes. I know, but I'm trying to teach you something. Don't we want Him to do it now, but we wanted to take 40 years to get into it, didn't we? Okay, God, I don't feel well. Fix it now. Yeah, well, you've been doing that to your body for the last 20 years. Let me teach you something in the process. Could He heal you instantly? Could He do these things? Yes, of course He can. Sometimes He doesn't, though. Huh? Huh is pastor talk for I was going to say, well, yeah, if you could hear. God said, I've heard your prayers and your supplication that you've made before me. Psalm 10 says, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. God makes sure that He listens to you. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? If you say, yes, I have, but I've really been walking not too good. No. The truth is, if you belong to God, if Jesus lives in your heart, He hears your prayers. He hears you. John chapter 11, Jesus, the Son of God, when they're going to take the stone away because Lazarus is dead and been dead for 4 days. Now, you know, God could have showed up and healed. Well, He didn't have to show up. God could have healed him when Jesus was up north there and Lazarus is down there in Bethany, right there by Jerusalem. Jesus could have spoken the word and he would have been healed at that distance. But Jesus said, we'll go on down there. He's been dead 4 days now. Why did God do that? Have you ever wondered why God seems to be taking His time in your specific project? Well, Mary and Martha knew Jesus could do anything. If you could get Jesus, send a message, the one you love is sick. And when the one you love is sick, Jesus will come running down, He'll heal him, He'll be fine. But He didn't, did He? Why? Because He wanted to do something bigger than a simple healing. Well, how do you do something bigger than that? Gotta let old Lazarus die. How does Lazarus feel about it? I mean, how does Lazarus feel about it? He's sick. Mary and Martha have sent for Jesus. What is Lazarus laying there thinking as he's dying? Lord, where are you? Didn't you get a message to Jesus? We did. We sent, oh my goodness, we sent 4 days ago, 5 days ago. I'm not feeling any better. How did you word the message? Can you imagine? Now, aren't you all saying the same things at different times? Lord, I don't know how they're praying for me, but it's not working. Now, I know you could do anything. Why didn't He heal Lazarus of that illness? Because He wanted to do something bigger. He wanted to show His power so that others would know what Jesus Christ can do. He's almighty. So, Jesus says this in John chapter 11, verse 41 and 42. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, Lazarus, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said this, Father, I thank You that You've heard me. What a prayer, huh? I thank You that You've heard me. And I know that You hear me all the time. I know that You're always listening. But because of the people which are standing here, I'm saying this. I want them to know that you're always listening. I want them to know so they can come too, so that they can talk to you too, so that they can cry out to you, and so that they will know you're listening. That's why I'm saying it out loud. I know that you're always listening. I'm saying it because of these people, that they may believe that you have sent me. God listens when you cry out. He does. John chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus speaking to his disciples, those who are really his. Hitherto, or up to this point, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. What's he saying? You ask, God will listen. God will hear. Up to this point, you haven't asked anything in my name. From now on, ask in my name, you'll receive. Ask, and God will listen. God will hear. God says to Solomon, now it's 13 years in the making, 7.5, and then a full 13 for the temple and the palace. And then God says, I have heard your prayer. I've been listening to you. God goes on to say this. I have hallowed this house which you have built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Meaning, in our language, this is our meeting place, Solomon. This, I'll meet you here. The temple. Now you and I, we know something Solomon never dreamed. And that is Jesus Christ died and shed his blood on the cross, was buried. He was dead. And that same body that died rose again, physically rose from the dead. And he says, I go to my Father and to your Father. Believe in me. Follow me. I'll send the Comforter. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you which way to go. He'll pray for you. He'll teach you how to pray. The Holy Spirit. Now, you. And He is in the world. He is with you. He will be in you. He'll come upon you. The Holy Spirit is given and takes up residence in your life. Don't you understand? You then are the temple. Do you understand that? You are the temple. And the Holy Spirit, God, takes up residence in you. And God says, my heart shall be here perpetually. You have God the Holy Spirit in your life. God Himself dwelling in you. He hears your prayers. He knows what you need before you ask Him. Ask Him. Don't be afraid that you're not good enough. None of us are good enough. Don't think that, well, He won't listen to me. He listens to others. They read more than I do. They pray. They're just more holy. There is nobody more holy than you. Nobody. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are saved. This may shock you, but you'll never be any more saved than you are right now. Meaning, if He were to come tonight, you would go with Him if He took you. Just like you are. You keep thinking, and I keep thinking, we're going to get better. Hasn't happened yet, has it? But we keep thinking we're going to. Oh, I didn't say you couldn't grow. You can. We all can. But the truth is, you're forgiven right now. Completely forgiven. You have eternal life. God hears your prayers. I'm going slow on this because I want you to know, in case you hadn't caught on, that what God says to Solomon, He also says to you and I. And that's why I'm going slow on it. God is specifically speaking to Solomon here, but you're going to find He has not changed. This is exactly how He'll be with you and I. And He says, I have heard your prayer. And Jesus reminds us, God hears. Now look at this. He says, I've hallowed this house In other words, this is our meeting place, Solomon. I've hallowed this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now look at verse 4. And if you will walk before me, as David your father did, walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever. As I promised to David your father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Did you hear that? I've heard your prayer. This is our meeting place, the temple. You are the temple now, you know that. Now he says, if you will walk before me. Stop now, because a lot of times when we read this, we think that's very nice. But we live under a different period of, we live under a period of grace, we do. But we think it's different. And it's not, God hasn't changed at all. God does not change. In him is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. God doesn't change. What he says to Solomon, he would say to you and to me, to us, to we, to you and I. If you will walk before me. Now that means literally, if you will walk in front of my face. Or before my face. That's what he's saying to Solomon. And the Bible has not changed. I'll show you soon that God still wants me to do that today. He has given me life freely by grace. He said, do you want to live? Do you want to be forgiven from your sin? I say, yes, I have sinned and I want to be forgiven. Then just come to Jesus. Ask Jesus into your heart. I say, Jesus, I want you in my life. Sincerely, wash my sins away. I want to be a Christian. Jesus entered into my life. So what do you do from now on? Now you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. What do I do? God says, if you will walk before me, if you will walk in front of my face. What does that mean? So that my eyes are on you all the time. So you're right in front of my face. God wants us to walk before him. He wants you and I, in Jesus Christ now, to walk right in front of his face. Meaning, all the time knowing, whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm at, he is watching. He's got his eye on me. Romans chapter 6. See, let me go to the New Testament to show you we still should be walking before his face. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we are buried with him, Jesus Christ, by baptism into death. You and I are. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walk right in front of his face, knowing I've been crucified with Christ, yet I really live. How should I walk in newness of life? Knowing I've been born again, I need to walk before his face. Just as he said to Solomon, he says to you and I, walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. One of the super verses, one of the many verses that's quoted quite often. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How should I walk? Before my face. Right in front of me. Not after the flesh, in other words. After the Spirit. Walking in newness of life. If, Solomon, you will walk before me. Has God changed? Not at all. Does he want you and I to walk before him? Yes, he does. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:1-2. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. What vocation are you and I called into? Into being just like Jesus. The vocation is to walk as a Christian. Right in front of the face of God, knowing that even if no one else is looking, God sees. And we need to walk with him. Worthy of the vocation that you and I are called. We're called to be salt. We're called to be the light of the world. And a city that's on a hill can't easily be hid because you light a little light and there it is for all to see. Ephesians 5:8. You were at one time darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Notice how we come to the New Testament. We know it's by grace. We know we're free. Yet you notice God is still saying, walk before my face. I want you to walk with me correctly. And he says, walk as children of the light. How are you and I walking? You say, oh, I'm doing a terrible job. No, wait. We all are. It's just some will admit it, some won't. You're fine. That's why Jesus died. Because you and I are sinners. If you sin, Christian, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What happens when I sin? What happens when you sin? We confess it. We don't just excuse it. We don't explain why we did it. We don't say, that person makes me do this every time I see them, I get this way. We say, I've sinned, and we confess it. But we continue to walk as children of the light. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Walk worthy. Solomon, I've heard your prayer. And I'll make this our meeting place. Now, if you will walk before me as David your father did. Remember, David did sin, but he confessed it. And God says, this is the way I want you to walk with me. Is salvation free? Yes. What confuses people is salvation is free. And so from that point on, they figure they're going to go anywhere, walk anyway, do anything. And that's not true. Salvation is free. But if you're truly born again, you're going to want to change. You're going to want to begin to walk. And you're commanded over and over, just like I am. We are commanded to walk worthy of this life. Now, the world out there, it's falling apart. They're ignoring anything. They're calling evil good. They're calling good evil. Isaiah chapter 5. Woe to those who call evil good. Now, you saw the vote today. So you can lie. You can cheat. You can destroy somebody's life. And others will say, well, it's not worth firing you over. It's not worth getting all riled up about. Yes, it is if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you should walk worthy. Walk before my face. So what if everybody else votes you innocent? God says you're guilty. And if God says you're guilty, you want to confess it. You want to repent. And you want to say, Lord, fill my life so that I can walk worthy. That I can be the light that I should be. Because that is the true heart of a child of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. To the Thessalonian church, he writes, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we are liars and we are not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. We have to walk in the light, just as Jesus is in the light. Are you walking in the light? You're not walking in the light if you're walking in the dark. Know what I mean? You can't just go on out there and plug in to that group you're hanging out with and do everything they do and just say, oh, I'm born again. No problem. It's cool. How can you walk in the dark and say you're walking in the light? How can that be? He says it can be. God says, if, that's a big word, if you will walk before my face. right in front of my eyes, keeping in mind that I see you wherever you are, keeping in mind that no matter who approves or disapproves, I am the one and I am watching and I love you and I can hear your prayer and I'm right here. Walk in front of me, worthy. But not only does he say, if you will walk before me as David your father, but he says, in integrity of heart. Integrity of heart. Now, what does that mean? Walking worthy, we can understand that. Christians should walk a certain way. Not with their feet necessarily, but their lives should be a certain way. We ought to stand out. And I'm telling you, if we stand out, we are not going to be appreciated. If you stand out, people won't necessarily appreciate that. They may not understand it. It doesn't fit in with what they think. It doesn't fit in with what they want. As a matter of fact, if you just simply start to walk, even other Christians are going to be uncomfortable around you. And they're all going to do this, and you say, you know, I'm not going to. And they go, oh, holier than thou. Oh, and they'll start putting the pressure on you to bend you back into their circle. Stay out of that circle. That's the best way to love them. Just stay out of that circle. Get along. Encourage. Don't gossip. Don't complain. Don't judge them. That's your circle. If that's what your circle does, I'm keeping my mouth closed. But I got to go this way. You may not be appreciated. But believe me, oh, how happy is that man or that woman who walks in the ways of the Lord. Blessed are you when you're persecuted, when people revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For great is your reward in heaven, Jesus says. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. He says, if you will walk before me as David your father did, in integrity of heart and in uprightness. Integrity, the word means completeness. Integrity means wholeness or entireness or unbroken. Well, the way you and I would say it when we say integrity is wholehearted. Your heart is all the way in this. It's not, well, I got a heart to serve God, and I got a heart to do this, and so I'm kind of pulled. And so sometimes I don't do what God wants, and sometimes I don't even care what God wants, because I'm pulled that way. When as a younger man, in my music, that's the way it was with me. I was born again. I knew I was going to heaven. I was a Christian. But yet I was playing in the music world, and I was pulled because I want to walk with God, but you can't. I mean, there are times when you just plain can't, because every night of my life was spent in a bar room. 7 nights a week I'm in a bar room. Yet I am born again, and I know that I'm saved, and I know He loves me, and I know He hears my prayers, but I'm torn because this is the way they want me to go, and He seems to want me to do something else, and I can't seem to make these things fit any longer, and I don't know what to do, and so I just was miserable. Until God just said, look, go one way or the other. I almost felt like He didn't care which way I went. If I would just pick one way or the other. I was standing in a shower in Redwood Falls, Minnesota, and I'm fighting with Him, thinking, this is not fair. You don't even care about me. What do you mean go one way or the other? You make it sound so easy. I have put my whole life in here. He wasn't interested. He just waited. You go one way or the other. It's your choice. And boy, did I fight, kick, scream. When you're in a shower by yourself and all that's going on, the guys out there worry. What is he doing in the shower? Who's he fighting with? Why are they fighting in the shower? I hope you're not as stupid and as stubborn as I have been. Integrity of heart. Completeness, wholeness, entireness, unbroken. Is your whole heart in this? Or is it in it on holy days of obligation? Easter, Resurrection Day, Christmas. The Super Bowl Sunday of the Christian world is Resurrection Day. And the pastors talk about, we'll preach the gospel. Why? Because they're going to see people that they won't see another until the next year. It's a high holy day. Are you living that way too? How's it going? Do you just kind of do your own thing? And if your thing sort of fits what God's got going, cool. If not, you just bow out. You know, do you just, if the entertainment world, it continues to swim through the sewer with its mouth open, do you swim with them? Do you go there? Or do you only go, you know, so far, you know, partly in the sewer? Like, do you get in up to your chin? Or do you get in all the way and keep your mouth closed? And then when you get out and come to church, do you shake off on everybody around you? Because that, we got to have hearts that are whole on this issue. They got to be whole. He says integrity of heart. Psalm 119 verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Blessed are they. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Oh, how happy are they that keep His testimonies and they that seek Him with their whole heart. You say, I want to be happy. That's all I want. Then you got to seek God with integrity of heart. My whole heart's got to be in this. Not just on Sundays, not on Fridays, not just when people are listening to a Christian, but all the time. And that is impossible. And I catch myself going, I'm tired now. And it takes the Holy Spirit. In my life, there are days when I'm supposed to study, and sometimes you sit down, and that chair is uncomfortable, and it's really ugly color. You know the things I suffer for you, and I sit it, and then the little thing goes down. You pull the little thing, goes down, and it's too far. And you lift yourself up, and you try to go, and now your knees hurt because you've been there 30 minutes, and you can't study. And you don't feel like studying, and everybody else is outside playing. And sometimes you think, well, you know, what's a day off going to hurt? But you have Bible study tomorrow, and you're not ready. I know, but gee, Lord, I want to go out and play. Some of the guys are going to get together with banjos and guitars, and they're just going to play. And I can't go. They wouldn't invite me anyway. But if they would invite me, I couldn't go. You ever feel that way? It's time to do something for the Lord. You say, I don't know. You know, I got something fun I could be doing. And that's not the way. No, see, blessed are they who keep His testimonies and seek Him with the whole heart. Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Are you there with your whole heart, or is this just something you do to please everybody at home? Well, my parents say I have to go to church. I might as well, okay, fine. Well, my wife, you know, this is going to make her happy. She'll get off my back. That's great. Then we'll just go to church. Well, my husband, he's really into this thing. He's trying to even be an usher. I better show up or it looks bad him showing. Where's your wife? I hate them asking me all the time where everybody is. So we show up. We hate it. We hate everybody. We hate each other. But at least nobody asks us where we are. No, my whole heart's got to be in this. Your whole heart has to be in this. It's got to be all the way, integrity of heart. Jeremiah 29:13. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart, with all your heart. Do you really want to know God? Do you really want to know what He wants you to do? Are you really wondering, what could I do, Lord? I can't do anything. Let me do something for you. I want to know. Are you searching with your whole heart? Integrity of heart. God says, if you will walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I've commanded you. There's another one. You're walking before Him in front of His face so that His eyes are on you and you know it. You're walking in integrity of heart, completely, wholeheartedly in this walk. And now, to do all that I have commanded you to do. Now, we Today, we hear teachings that you don't have to do what God says to do. You're free in the Lord. It's grace. You don't have to. You don't have to love each other. Go ahead and mistreat people. You're still safe. Go ahead and tell people. Just call them names. Just mistreat them. But don't let anybody else catch you, because then you probably, they would jump. So do it really sneaky. Be sly. Who cares? God is looking. God hears. God knows. He knows what you just said. He knows what you're thinking. He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you've been bad or good. I'm sorry, it just pops right into Santa Claus is coming to town. Because that's kind of how we treat him. He knows what's going on. Do you do all that he commands you? Do any of us do? You think, well, this is the New Testament now. Does he really want us to obey? Really now, does he? John 14:15. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Now, I can say I love him. But if I don't keep his commandments, he would challenge me on it. That's why John says we're a liar if we don't. What's all this talk then? What's all this talk? Where are Christians? Are we really making an impact in the world? Shouldn't we be the light and the salt? Where are we? Are we right smack in the middle with them so that we're encouraging? Or are we walking in integrity of heart, in uprightness, doing what God has commanded us to do? John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, that's the one that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to know more about God? If you love me and you're doing what I say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will manifest myself to you, he says. I want to know you more. I don't understand it. I want to grow. I will manifest myself to you. Listen to me. Trust me. Follow me. 1 John 2:3-4. This is how we know that we're born again, that we know God, if we keep his commandments. That's how you know you're saved. There's no feeling involved. You might feel saved today. You might have had a terrible week and you might feel like, I'm not saved at all. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not sure anybody loves me at all. But he says, this is how we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know God, or I know him, and doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. If I walk around in disobedience, saying that I'm a Christian, John says, you're lying, Bob. Christians walk before God's face, with God's eyes, knowing that he's watching, in integrity and uprightness, doing what God has commanded us to do. How do you do that? It takes the Holy Spirit. You must be Spirit-filled. You got to get God's Spirit into your life. First, you must be born again, and then you need to say, Lord, fill me. And because D.L. Moody says it, we leak. We leak, and so we have to be refilled. A lot of times you get going and through your week, and things are tough, and all of a sudden you're noticing that I'm not doing so well. I'm starting to lose my temper. I'm going to have to hurt somebody. And so you say, wait a minute, this isn't right. Lord, fill me. I need a fresh and filling of your Spirit. Help me to do what's right. I'm not feeling good here. I'm feeling edgy. I don't think this is going right. I think my attitude is no good. Lord, I need the strength that's yours. 1 John 5:2-3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That is the love of God. And his commandments are not grievous. Does he want me to obey him? Yes. Is my salvation dependent upon doing that? No. My salvation was a free gift. He gave me salvation free at the time when I least deserved it. How many of you got saved and didn't even expect it to? You didn't expect to get saved. He just saved you, and all of a sudden, I'm born again and didn't even know things were wrong 6 weeks ago, and now I'm a Christian. And now everything's wrong. Because all of a sudden I'm thinking, man, I got a loud mouth. Gee, I look bad. I can't believe I just said that. I never did that before. Yeah, Bob, you do that all the time. Oh, I never noticed I did that before. You didn't care before. You're now alive and you're thinking, that's gross what you just did. 2 John 6. 2 John verse 6. This is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. That's love. Want to love each other? Obey God. Revelation, the very end of the book in the new city, New Jerusalem. Blessed are 22:14, the last chapter, the 14th verse in the entire Bible, the very last chapter says, blessed are they that do His commandments. Oh, how happy are they, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city, the holy city. Blessed are they. Let me read it to you again. The Lord said, verse 3, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that you have made before me. And I have made holy this house which you have built, to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there constantly, perpetually. And if you will walk before me, in front of my face, before my eyes, as David your father walked, in integrity, wholeness, completeness of heart, wholeheartedly, and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, if you do that, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. If you will do that, then your throne will go on just as I've promised to David your father. And I promised him, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Did God keep His promise? Yes, as a matter of fact, the man on the throne now has nail prints in his hands. And he is King of Kings. He is God the Son, and He will sit on that throne and rule forever and ever. God kept His promise. But now notice something. If you shall at all turn from following me. Now what if somebody turns? What if Solomon turns from following God? Or if your children turn from following me, your descendants. We talk about the United States of America and we talk about forefathers. Well, there were more than four, but you understand what the four means. The forefathers. Well, let's just use another word. Founding. Didn't they found this country upon principles that were godly principles? I mean, basically, isn't that true? Even if some will argue about deists and that whole argument there. Basically, isn't our legal system based upon the laws of God, the Ten Commandments, and how God says the punishment must fit the crime? Basically, didn't this country begin that way? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, created all men and women, created, recognizing the power of God. Didn't this country start that way? What happens if then it turns its back, even the descendants? I'll read it to you. If you shall at all turn from following me, you or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, have we? Oh yeah. Then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. He'll cut off that country out of the land which He has given them. He's going to shut them down. What do you think is coming after that vote today to make it clear where we are in our progress? What do you think is coming? I think God's going to shut it down. I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. Turn your back on God. Don't walk in the Lord's ways. Still say you're His. And God says there is a problem. Something is wrong. Be careful. You say that, I thought this was good news. The good news is life is free. The power you need is available. There is peace. There is joy. There is security. There is hope. There are promises that He will care for you, guide you, just as a shepherd cares for a sheep. You are promised life and abundant life if you belong to Him. But we need to walk with Him. He says, if you turn your backs and worship others, I'll cut off Israel out of the land which I've given them. Did God do it? Solomon turned his back, by the way. What happened? Israel was cut off out of the land that they had. Remember, they were destroyed. They were taken captive. They were taken, led to foreign lands. You remember the psalm? By the willows there, we hung up our harps. And our captors there, and by Babylon, and our captors there required of us songs. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But we answered and said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We've been ripped away from our native land. We've been taken captive. And God cut them out of the land. But not only that, He said, this house which I've hallowed for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Have you been to Israel lately? What happened to the temple? It's out of his sight. It's gone. You go to the Temple Mount and you open the Bible. I did that last time I was there. And the police tried to take it away from me. There was trouble. Because I said, no, it's mine. And they said, no, they want it. And so we had trouble. You can't even open a Bible on the Temple Mount. What Temple Mount? There's no temple there. Mosque of Omar. It's gone. It's wiped out of the way, out of God's sight, because they turned their backs. Has God changed? No, God is merciful, but He is just. And He still wants you and me, us, to walk with Him. Have we sinned? Yes. And we've come short of the glory of God. Is there any here better than anybody else? No. Is there anybody here who has sinned worse than anybody else? No. It doesn't work that way. All of us were headed for hell. Jesus Christ paid the price. Any who have accepted Jesus are now headed for heaven and have life. And God says, Israel will become a password or a proverb and a byword among all the people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passes by it shall be amazed. They shall hiss, and they shall say, why has the Lord done this unto this land and to this house? To hiss doesn't mean to make a noise like a snake. It means to whistle. In other words, why did God do this? In amazement. Why has God done this to this land? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God. What is going to happen in a country that has turned its back on God, where you can lie and cheat and steal, and even Christians are starting to take part in it? What is going to happen? God will cut off those from the land. And people will ask, why did that happen? When people look back, why did that happen to America? Why did that happen to such a powerful land, to such a land that was so blessed, that had such great light, that had such great wealth? Why did that happen? Why did that happen to Israel? Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought upon them this evil. If you want to destroy your life, then continue to walk in a way that goes against the commandment of God. My life was a mess, and I can't change it. Some of you, if you honestly would tell the truth, you'd say the same. My life was a mess. You take a look at a life like mine, you think, it is wasted, it is destroyed, it is useless. God, even God can't do anything. And He did. Obviously not much, but He did. He'll take your life. Your life isn't too big a mess. That's why He called me. So that you could see, He'll call anybody and He'll use any vessel willing. Your life isn't too big a mess. He loves you. He died for you and rose again. Now walk with Him before His face in integrity of heart, in uprightness, obeying His commandments. listening to Him. Ask the Lord. Don't take my word for it. Read through it again. Ask the Lord. Show me, Lord. Show me my own life. Show me what to do. Give me the strength to do these very things. In this time, He has given us to live. You could have lived 100 years ago. You could have lived 1,000 years ago. He's, for some reason, wanted you here today. He wanted you to see the turn of the century. He wanted you to see the turn of the millennium. He wanted you to see. What should you be doing in it? Preaching the gospel. Telling the whole world. There's hope. You're not telling them anything but the truth. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Is it all going to fall apart? Well, it was all going to fall apart from the very beginning. Technology is not going to hold it together, nor will technology take it down. It will be God Himself. You can count on that. What do we do in the meantime? I say, love one another. Encourage each other. Read your Bible. Pray. Walk in obedience. Don't worry. Worry is literally a sin, and it will hurt you. Do not worry. If He promised He would care for you, He will. But walk. Some of you have some real decisions to make tonight. Because you're walking in the dark, but you're saying you're in the light. And your friends who are Christians are walking in the dark, and that's what makes you feel comfortable there. You need to come on into the light. If you're truly born again, you need to begin to walk in the light. Young people, that's you too. I know I was young once. It was 50 years ago, but it was still once. And I walked in the dark. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know where you're going in the dark. Let me tell you real quick. Adam Prickett and I were working with a junior high group. We took them to a cave. And it was caused by lava. And it was deep and it was dark. You could see nothing. So we, the adults, thinking that they were clever, we thought, all right, we're going to teach these young people a lesson. We'll show you what it's like to walk in pitch dark. And we had flashlights. So we turned the lights off. And you could see, I mean, you could see nothing. You feel the darkness. It was so dark. You could see nothing. And so the kids are like, ah, ha, ha, very funny. Turn those lights back on. So we turn one light on and we say, here's what we're going to do. This will show you what your life is like without Jesus. We're going to turn the lights off and we want all of you to make your way out of the cave. Well, being adults and mature, I said, all right, Adam, what you and I, some of the adults went on ahead. And so Adam and I, we stayed back. And we said, what we'll do is we'll stay back here to make sure none of the kids wander back past us to go on the wrong way. We'll make sure they find their way out. But let's just give them a few minutes in pitch black. Now, they're scared. Not us, though. Because we're mature. So I'm standing there, and Adam is standing there, and we're walking, just going real slow. And somebody hits me. Boom! I mean, just pow, walked right in. Big junior high kid. I said, who is that? He told me his name. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm walking out. I said, you've somehow turned and you're going the same way you came. No way! So I'd flipped the light on and showed him. It freaked him out. You can't even tell what direction you're going. It's pitch black. You don't know. So we turned him back around walking. And so Adam and I just thought, okay, we can't see anything. We're just like them. But we'll talk to one another. That way we'll know where we're at. And I'm going along walking real slow. And so I go, boy, Adam, it's dark, isn't it? Aha, very funny, Adam. Pretty dark, though, isn't it? Nothing. I said, Adam, where are you? His voice is, over here. How did I get back here by myself? I had to turn the light on. You don't know where you're going or how fast you're moving. You know nothing in the dark. And I'm telling you right now, some of you are hanging out with people who walk in the dark. They don't know where they're going. I'm experienced. You have no clue where you're going. You do not know what direction you're going. You don't know a thing. You're just walking until you, boom, oh, hey, how are you? I really want to encourage you. Pray about it. You pray about it. Walk in the light. Walk worthy. It's not a works mentality. It's not like if you don't be good, God's going to beat you up and hate you. It doesn't work that way. But you know, some of you are sure getting yourselves beat up by the enemy. because you keep walking into His territory. Let's bow our heads together and let's worship just a bit and ask God to show you these things. Father, we look to You. We see Your mercy, Your grace, Your kindness to King Solomon. If he will walk, just as You've commanded us to, called us to, before Your eyes. Integrity of heart, wholeheartedly. Uprightness. Obeying Your word, Your commands, by the power of Your Holy Spirit. You promised that You would be right there. Lord, don't let us wander off. Keep us where we belong. We worship You now, Lord. We ask You speak to our hearts. If someone doesn't know You, doesn't know Your Son, we ask that they just simply ask Jesus into their heart tonight. If someone has been walking in the dark, Lord, there's a need for a recommitment. We just pray that as we worship, they cry out to You. You hear and fill them, Lord. We thank You and we worship You together in Jesus' name.